Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. Now, Mike, just taking into context all the news and all the data and the market moves that we had this week, it really seems like markets just continue to move higher because of all the money that's being printed, but also because of some of the stronger economic data that we are seeing in the U.S. So we had GDP announced that was actually a little bit below estimates, but let's face it, GDP for Q1, 6.4%. Everyone, again, was expecting this number to be high. And then you follow up strong GDP numbers with the Fed and even Powell, who just keep on printing money. It's no wonder markets keep on moving higher. What out of these news stories, or even taken in the big picture sense, Mike, are you taking away from this week's action?
Sure. I mean, the term I keep referring when we talk about what's going on there, money flood, money flood, money flood, because that's exactly what we're dealing with here. You know, if you looked at kind of what was coming down the pike and back in the fall and winter of 2020 and turning over into early 2021, you had the Fed that was saying it was going, you know, kind of the damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead approach to monetary stimulus. You had the Biden administration, incoming Biden administration, even at the tail end of the Trump administration, saying that they're going to be throwing more fiscal at the economy. You add it all up, and again, it translates into a money flood. Money is pouring out of every nook and cranny in Washington, and that's not going to be ending anytime soon. You know, this week was really interesting in that regard, because you obviously had a Federal Reserve meeting, and Jay Powell came out after the meeting and basically said in the press conference, no, we're done. Let's put it this way. Yes, the economy is improving. Yes, inflation pressures are going up. Yes, house prices are appreciating at a faster rate now than they did even at the peak of the biggest housing bubble in U.S. history back in 2005. All of that stuff's happening, and we literally do not care. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep printing $120 billion a month to buy billion dollars a month to buy bonds. We're going to continue to keep interest rates pegged to the floor, you know, and strongly hinted that's going to continue through 2022, probably 2023, and who knows beyond that. So again, on the monetary side, they're literally looking at numbers that would, in any past Fed regime, provoke a response and saying, yeah, we don't care. We're going to keep doing it. And then, again, that was Wednesday afternoon. Then Wednesday evening, Joe Biden got in front of a joint session of Congress, U.S. Congress, and said, basically, he wants to push through another $1.8 trillion in social spending on, you know, reforms and spending targeted at child care and education and other things like that. On top of what he just unveiled not too long ago, several weeks ago, $2.3 trillion additional dollars in infrastructure spending, everything from electrification to hardening the power grid to you know, bridges, tunnels, roads, and on and on and on, school construction, all that stuff. And that, of course, came on the heels of, I've almost lost count now, what was it? You know, another trillion plus in COVID-dedicated aid that came at the very beginning of the Biden administration. And on top of another, I think, if memory serves, $600 billion or $900 billion or something of money at the tail end of the Trump administration, also for COVID aid. So again, when you look at, I mean, the numbers are astronomical on the fiscal side of things. If you go back to a couple decades ago when, you know, the whole era of big government is over speech in the U.S., this is Joe Biden saying the era of big government is back. And we're going to, again, throw money at the markets on the monetary side, throw even more money at the markets on the fiscal side. So it truly is a money flood. It's driving everything from, you know, hard commodities and soft commodities to equities, and particularly sectors of the stock market that are more economically or cyclically sensitive. And it's an environment that you just can't stand in the way of that kind of flood.
Well, that's the key right there. When you're in the market, you can't play the short side when there is this much money being issued because, well, at least some of it ends up in the market. But, Mike, it seems like we've had this discussion where money just keeps on getting printed, and this money does keep on filtering into the market. But for every dollar that's printed, there is less of an impact. Are you noticing any of that right now, taking into context just how many billions are being put into these markets?
Sure. Well, what you can see, you can see that the impact of monetary stimulus or backstop, you know, you're getting less bang for your buck in terms of actual real economic impact. You're, you know, ongoing bang for your buck in terms of asset valuation, appreciation, and risk taking. You know, it's not just a quantifiable thing that for every dollar the Fed prints, the S&P 500 goes up 0.0001%. It's not like a direct, you know, one-to-one correlation there. But it is essentially for every time the Fed comes out and tells the market it's got its back, then you have a bit more risk-taking, willingness to take risk on Wall Street. I mean, again, when you have, you know, it's like if there's no punishment for touching the hot stove, what are you going to keep doing? You're going to keep touching the hot stove over and over again. If you don't feel any pain and burn your hand, you don't learn a lesson, right? So that's, you know, that the markets basically know that, hey, if we put our hand on the hot stove, we bid junk bonds to the moon, we bid stocks to the moon, we, you know, crush credit risk spreads and things like that, we launch a bunch of overpriced private equity buyout deals and everything. If they know that they can do all that, get away with it, and get rich, and if things go south, they don't have to give the money back, and they don't go to jail, then what's going to happen? So that's why you see a radically excessive level of risk-taking in terms of the financial markets. But then also this time, you have the added kick of enormous amounts of fiscal spending. You know, for all the waste and inefficiency that you get with government spending, in the long run, for all the Solyndras of the world, in the short term, intermediate term, that money is going to buy you a lot of bridges. That money is going to buy you a lot of roads. It's going to go into the pockets of all kinds of companies that do broadband infrastructure and that do power grid infrastructure and that do EV infrastructure and social spending, too. I mean, you look at the services sector that some of this money is going to filter down to, whether it's things like daycare centers or, you know, other sort of like work-life balance type companies. They're going to get money from this. So, again, it's truly, it's enormous in size, and it's not just coming it's from the authorities or will be over time. That's why you're getting such a broad-based impact, and that's why you're seeing so many economically sensitive type names win, and why you're seeing hard commodities and other things tied to economic growth accelerating also win.
So let's talk about some individual sectors that you have your eye on, because as you just said, really, you can go to a long enough time frame there and you're seeing everything benefit from this, some benefiting greater than others in terms of sectors, but still overall, everything has rebounded from that March washout. Where are you seeing opportunities, or where is standing out to you as just being so overheated, it's just not sustainable?
Sure. I've been sticking with really those safe money strategy, safe money style names, that have dividend protection, that have more cyclical exposure than I would have taken a year or 2 years ago. But then again, also have the dividend cushion, that receive high Weiss ratings from our rating system and so on. And they have other attractive things, dividend growth, dividend, strong dividend coverage and so on. But again, that are in sectors that are more cyclical now than I would have previously looked at. So whereas before the model portfolio and the newsletter might have been tilted towards food companies or consumer staples and utilities, some of those names are still in there, but it's also more weighted towards companies in the semiconductor space, companies in the infrastructure space, companies in the real estate investment trust space, and so on, that are a little growthier, that are going to benefit from this money flood, and that are also going to benefit from the reopening trade. I mean, there's a few travel and leisure type names in there that I wouldn't have touched with a 10-foot pole back in the day, but that are now doing very well for subscribers. So all of those kinds of sectors, I think, work and are going to continue to work as long as money is being thrown at the economy. I think, you know, you look at some of the sectors that have lagged, but I think are likely to pick up going forward. Precious metals, for example, they're under some interest rate pressure because rates have generally been rising with this economic improvement. But unless you think rates are going to continue to spike from here, I think that's a sector that's going to be playing catch up. And of course, again, on the broader commodities front, a lot of these things are levered to hard commodities that are doing very well, copper and other industrial metals. Those kinds of names can still work for you. So there's a lot of ways to win. We are overheated. Yes, there can always be things that come out of the blue. But again, this tends to be a broad-based rally that's supported by an enormous money flood. And that's why for many, many months, and I've been telling our subscribers to actually play along, make money from it. And, you know, will there be consequences? Absolutely. Are the consequences of concern to Wall Street now for the immediate future? No, they're not.
Well, and that's a thing, right? You can miss out on a lot of these moves higher. And unfortunately, well, you are going to miss out on them. And you might be right, or you will be right when there are prices to pay for all this, but you don't know when that's going to be. Now, regarding the whole basis of this recovery or this economic recovery, how critical is it for the markets or the economy, I guess, to continue to recover in the U.S., outside of all this money that's being printed, that sounds like it'll continue to be printed, if the economy does start to falter, does that make investors finally more nervous?
Well, the interesting thing I find about the way this stimulus is being talked about and structured is that it's not just, in the past we've had things where back in the George W. Bush time frame, coming out of the 2000-2001 recession, there were $600 checks mailed out, but that was it. It was a single injection of money into the economy, and that was about it. What's happening now is they're not just injecting money into the economy as an immediate one-off kind of thing. They're structuring a lot of this proposed spending to come out in, not dribs and drabs is the wrong term, but come out in continuous infusions over a span of a number of years. So it's more of a continuous IV drip of money into the economy, just a lot stronger than an IV, and it's being spread out over time. So whereas you might have in the past, we're going to get this short-term just rush of adrenaline for the markets, but then this is more of a longer-term change in trend and a longer-term infusion of cash. So, if there's some huge upheaval in Congress, if it looks like a lot of this spending is going to get derailed, something unexpected politically happens, that's going to be a problem for the market. But, a lot of what Biden's proposing, when you give people money, that makes them happy and they like to support it. Why does giving checks and money to people, why is Biden polling so well on it? Well, if somebody hands you a $1,000 check, you're probably going to be happy, right? You don't think about the consequences 10 years down the road. So it's hard for the Republicans to throw many roadblocks in Biden's way. As long as politically it looks like everything's moving along that way, it's not going to be a real problem for the markets, in my opinion.
Are you worried in the near term about some change coming out of the political front or the monetary front? As much as we've heard from Powell and Biden that it's going to continue, are you at least worried in the next few months that something might change?
I haven't been for the last several months, and that's been the right attitude to have, and I still am not real concerned at this point. I think, the biggest thing is there's obvious signs of financial insanity and fraud. Powell can talk, say, I feel so bad, and hopefully builders will build more houses. But, again, in the U.S. in March, the average price of an existing home went up more than 17% year over year. Now, again, 17% from a year ago. We didn't even see that kind of appreciation on a nationwide basis at the absolute peak of the housing bubble in 2005. That's crazy, and that's unaffordable and unsustainable. It's not being driven by the same kinds of absolutely stupid mortgages that were being made back then. It's being driven more by the money flood, the broad-based money flood, investors trying to replace lost yield by pouring into rental property, people just scrambling to buy a house before it gets even more expensive, that inflationary psychology. Cash-rich buyers who are able to cash in overpriced stocks and overpriced other assets to buy trophy homes. All that stuff's going on. The top 10% and even 1% of the population, wealth-wise, is doing great. So it's a top-heavy recovery. All that stuff does concern me on a longer-term basis. There is going to be a cost for it. All this borrowing and spending is not going to work out well eventually. But, as an investor, you have to invest, and I constantly say this, you have to invest for the market and the environment that you have, not the one that you may think is best on a philosophical level. So my approach is to try and help people make money now, and when the broader averages look like they're caring about some of these longer-term consequences, that's when you switch tactics and switch hats and, look to cash out and maybe even go short. But if you do that too early, you're going to get run over. And there's no, I don't want to be that person with, tire treads on my back.
Fair enough. I don't want that for you either, Mike. But hey, you have been right. Absolutely. Ride this wave of easy money. As much as you might disagree with it or don't think that it should be happening, fact of the matter is this money continues to land in the markets and there are a lot of sectors that are benefiting from it.
Let me say, when I get nominated to the Federal Reserve Board and I get my invitation in the mail, then, maybe I can do something about changing it. But for right now, I just have to go along with what we have, not what I may want.
Well, and that's a key point there, too, right? You can't change it. You just need to understand what's happening. Mike, thanks again for your time, buddy. I hope you have a great weekend. I look forward to chatting with you in another couple weeks.
Thank you. Take care.